Welcome to the Chaos Network.
Now you're all in big, big trouble.
This is Wheels and a Winner. We are getting ready for the racing season, so it's time to bring the show out of our what's the big word? Sabbatical? Maybe that's the word I'm looking for. We are back. We are going to talk about cars. We're going to talk about racing. Figure we'd start the show off with a little techno music, living it up, living the good life. I'm excited. We waited an entire off season, and now it's time to go racing again. And for some of us, it seems like a lifetime. And for others, some people who live in my house think that they can't believe that this the off season's already over, and it's time for me to spend my weekends locked to the TV watching racing, which is absolutely my passion. The thing I love the most, the automobile. I've never met an automobile I didn't like. No matter how ugly it was, no matter how cheaply and poorly made it was, I was in love. So that's why I started the show. Wheels and a Winner, we are back. And I'm excited. We do have someone that, you know, for the sake of argument, sitting on the couch right now as we speak. Lloyd, how are you this evening?
And Tommy, how are you?
I'm fantastic. Isn't this exciting? We get to just sit around and talk, and other people will listen to the show or download this show and think, wow, I wish that I could have been part of that conversation.
Oh, right. You know, it's a Friday night, and it's exactly what I want to be doing.
How could it not be?
Oh, that, unbelievable.
You work all week in the automotive industry, and then you finally get a Friday night, and it's 8 o'clock where all the cool people are out partying, having a great time, and instead, here we are, just hanging out, talking about the automobile.
The automobile. I can't wait to drive one.
That's actually not part of the program this evening.
Oh. I have my helmet on.
Yeah. That's for other reasons, though.
Oh.
Now, Lloyd, for the, you know, people who have tuned in and say, you know, listen to the show for years and listen to me talk about racing for years, Lloyd, why don't you tell us a little bit about you and, you know, so people can get a perspective of Lloyd.
Well, been around cars for quite some time. Changed a couple spare tires, put some fuel in some tanks, and played around with some motors for a while. And, yeah, it's just kind of a big part of my life and working in the auto industry. So it's, I mean, I guess, Tom, you can understand, right?
When did you know that you were a car guy?
When I want to say when I was helping my pops, so we were working on a 1929 Model A Ford. Two-door.
It was his
when I was a kid. And I think that was when it came about. It was the big rolling fenders, big headlights, the wired wheels, and the wooden frame that the car actually rode on. It was unbelievable. It was a sight to see.
Now, did you ever get it working?
Oh, yeah. It was. He picked it up as a bucket of bolts. It was actually in milk crates. You know, when people used to get milk delivered to their house, they filled it with parts, and they said it was a car. And he bought the crates, he bought a shell, put it together, and made it a full... It was actually won a couple shows, and that's kind of what started it. He brought it back from nothing.
Now, before that, you were... How old were you?
Oh, geez. Maybe like 4, 5. You were just getting the...
Okay.
Oh, kid. Oh, just a tight. Just a tight.
Now, was your dad a car guy?
Yeah, he was a car guy. He was always hot rod and stuff. He was a Corvette guy back in the day. He was in a couple clubs and, kind of got the ball rolling on that. Likes to make things go fast. Likes to make things work more efficiently. And I think that was kind of the basis for where I am now.
Yeah, because my dad wasn't a car guy. He was just, driving whatever he had in front of him. It never really was like big. He never worked on a car. You know, I come from a long line of people with baby soft hands.
Baby soft.
To get oil on our hands is kind of a forbidden family tradition. So my dad wasn't really like a car guy. When we were little, he watched racing, and I think it was just to get us out of the house, and then he would turn on something else. The only reason why I became a racing fan is because my dad used to watch it. And my dad's not very talkative. He's a very quiet man. He'll sit in the corner and do his own thing. So I thought, hey, I'll become a racing fan so I'd have something in common with him. But, learned absolutely everything I could and then called him up. I'm like, hey, did you watch the race today? And he said, yeah, the green car won.
There we go.
And I was like, how do you watch for 20 years and only know a color? Like, you don't know anything else? And for him, it was just something to have on the television. But I remember when I was like 7, I was on a baseball team in Atlantic City, New Jersey. And one of the kids on my team, his dad owned Resorts International, which was like the big casino back then. And his dad came to pick him up in a Porsche 928, and the Goldwyn doors popped open. And it was at that moment that I was like, oh, my God, I'm totally in love. Like, this is what love feels like. And from that moment on, cars were more to me than anything else. So,
They play a pretty big role.
They do. Because you can't, and it's funny because you meet so many people. And, like, the day that I was, like, 15, I bought my first car. I didn't have my driver's license, but I bought a 1975 Monte Carlo. A beautiful, beautiful car. Just probably, one of the biggest, sexiest cars that I've ever seen. And I loved it, and it was fantastic.
I'm sure it had an 8-cylinder, maybe pleated seats.
Velour seats.
Velour. Yes.
Just the thing was as big as my block. Like nobody else could park on the block if you know, because some dopey 15-year-old kid bought a car that he couldn't drive. Then, in my ultimate wisdom, I had friends who were in shop class at school, and I thought, let's have them work on it. And the thing burnt for 3 hours. Like, they don't make cars like that anymore. Like, even the fire department couldn't put it out. The thing was just pure burning steel. And from that day on, was just pure sadness.
Oh, jeez. Can I get another
one? Your first car?
What, my first car?
Yeah.
My first car. Let's see. Going back,
you got to think about it?
Oh, guy, come on. It was a 1980 fuel injected Corvette.
Oh,
that was
your first car, and you had to think about it.
First car? No, I don't have to think about it. I started working when I was 13, packed away some cash. I was 15 and a half, picked it up. It was gold. It had some really nice. It could have aluminum wheels, like basket weave wheels. It was a little bit lower. It was just a super clean car. Picked it up. I couldn't even drive it. I had to get it flatbedded to the house. It was a little crazy. Had it dropped off and, you know, just went to work cleaning it and whatnot and got it going. Got it going and took it to school. And it was pretty cool. It was a cool ride. And the cool thing is it was such a big part of, you know, who I was then, and it's kind of, you know, it took a lot to get the car, a lot of hours to earn it, and cool part is I still have it, so it's still, hanging around. It's still hanging around, so I mean,
is it still running?
It still runs, absolutely.
I don't know.
It still runs. I mean, it runs a little bit differently. I rebuilt the motor in it and got it going, and it runs pretty good.
Yeah, I said, if I won the lotto, I'd buy a 75 Monte Carlo again.
Yes, I saw one in Boston last week, or 2 weeks ago.
Oh,
it was silver, and it had some rally stripes on it. It was super clean. Super clean.
Yeah, that's what I need. I need me, you know. But then I went through, like, a stage of, like, terrible cars. Terrible. Like I'm embarrassed to even say that I own them. You know, my dad gave me a Vista Wagon.
Yes.
Which was, like, the first small SUV.
Yes.
It was a Dodge Colt. It was a half station wagon, very, very ugly. And I was a fat kid with long hair. I spelt my name wrong. Like, if it wasn't hard enough for me to get chicks, now I had the ugliest car ever made.
Yes.
Again, I still loved it, though. Like, it was mine. Like, I took out the middle seats and made it like a limo.
Oh.
I even took it to the prom.
No way. Did you carry a lot of people with it?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. You know, that was the cool thing is the fact that, I used to shuttle people for $5 a ride in high school. It didn't matter if we were going two houses over or, you know, there were 17 people in the car. Every person had to pay me $5.
Coin machine on the dash with a register.
Put my little license up there so they knew my name. Like, I was driving around kids in high school that I didn't even know.
Hey, what's that box on the dash? Hey, what's that box on the dash? It's 10 cents a mile, actually.
one time I was leaving one of those pep rallies, and I turned the corner. And this kid was running from the building so he wouldn't be in the pep rally. And I, like, clipped him. And he, like, jumped in the window. And he's like, just get me out of here. And I, you know, he didn't care that I clipped him. He just wanted to get away from the pep rally. But I didn't even know that kid.
Oh, did he have his helmet on like I do?
No.
I have gloves on, too.
Just, again, that's your safety reasons, Lloyd.
Safety.
We're afraid you're going to put your hands on the burner again.
Fire retardant.
Now you paint vehicles?
I paint some things, not necessarily vehicles, but I'm a pinstriper, long story short.
So you just paint parts of cars?
Parts of cars, yeah. I mean, it all depends, you know. I'll put lines on them here and there and kind of make them look cool and stand out.
Which is one of those things that it's kind of like a tattoo for the vehicle, that sometimes you see like really like awful ones, like they just couldn't stop.
Yes. Yes.
And that's when you're like, uh-oh, like didn't you think you had enough? But, you know, people just keep going with the pinstriping.
Some people call it junk. They call it a bunch of junk on their fenders and trunks and hoods. And it all depends on, you know, how far you go and, you know, how thick the lines are and what kind of scroll work you do. And there's just kind of a lot of things that go into it. But, you know, if you can get the cars done and you get the, I guess if you can, you know, make some straight lines and some curved lines, it comes out pretty decent.
Yeah, because that's the hardest part, is the fact that you're, you know, doing a straight line and the car is longer than you think it is. Even if it's a small car, doing a straight line on it,
it's
got to seem like a lifetime.
It is a lifetime. It's crazy.
But I'm one of those people who can't stop adding things to my car.
Oh, bars or fog lights or
just
on the exhaust.
You know, vents that aren't meant to be on the car.
You know what? As long as it looks cool and you love it, you know, you put your time into it, that's all that matters.
And that's what it is the fact that to me, like, I want my car to stand out. So when I go out in the parking lot, I'm like, hey, that's my car. And when I'm driving down the street, people are like, oh, look, here comes Tom.
Oh, you want to lock it. Yeah, you want to hit the button and lock it. You want to turn back and say, oh, damn.
Yeah, but I'm afraid people are going to be like, what the hell did he do to that thing? Like, I'm afraid that behind my back, they're like joking about it.
Hey, you're turning heads. You're getting people interested.
Well, and that's it. I am turning heads, but I don't know if it's if I've gone too far or not. So
I call it breaking necks. No, that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. It's whatever you like. It's your car.
Yeah, but there is a point where you go too far, like with tattoos. Some people, you know, have these tattoos that, you know, and to me, like, if you can't see it, what is the purpose of it?
Exactly. No, I hear you on that.
You know, when someone's trying to show you their elbow and they're showing you the wrong elbow because it's, you know, the other elbow is the tattoo they were trying to show you, that's when you know it might be too much.
No, I hear you on that. I hear you on that.
Now, are you a racing fan?
Racing fan? I mean, the louder the car is, the cooler it is. I think, ever since, you know, like you were a kid and whatnot, if it's loud, it goes fast, or you think it goes fast, it goes above 25 miles per hour. I mean, I think, you know, it's cool. I've been to Daytona. I've seen the race, the NASCAR race there. I've been to Indy like 3 or 4 times. Sebring, so I've seen a little bit of Le Mans racing, 24 hours. It's cool. I mean, there's all different kind of racing out there, road racing, and it's cool. I like it. I definitely like it. Sometimes I go up to New Hampshire, Loudon Speedway. Have you been?
I have not been to Loudon, no.
Oh,
Yeah, I love racing. I just don't like crowds.
Oh, crowds! The crowds are crazy. But let me tell you about the sights. Let me tell you about the sights, sir. You'll see anything and everything. It's like walking into Walmart times 45 and a half.
Oh, no, I get it. I've been, I've been to races. I've just not been to Loudon because to get in and out of Loudon is a lot of traffic.
There is.
It's not like it's right off the highway.
No, it's a little bit of a hike.
So, you're pretty much an hour of traffic before you even get to the racetrack.
Yeah.
There's no easy way. You're rolling for an hour.
You're rolling.
So,
you're rolling. You got the kids in the back saying, are we there yet? where's my snack? But this peanut butter and jelly is not good. come on.
When I go to the racetrack, I like to go by myself because I have to get there, before everybody else does. Like if the gates open at 7, I'm, in the area at 5. The minute that the gates open, I'm inside. I'm not, still 2 hours away. And if the gates open at 7, that, the race doesn't start until 1, so then you're just there. And of course, I like to hang out with the people because that's where the fun is.
You just got to make a friend.
Just anybody with a barbecue, I will just be like, hey, what's going on? And they'll just be like, hey, eat some chicken. And you're like, I can't believe these people, spent their money, and now I'm just eating their chicken. But that's the thing that I like. No, it's just some dude who's barbecuing, on a barbecue he made himself, and that he's taken to 700 races with him, and it's just as dirty and grimy as he is. But the chicken tastes great, and he pulls it out, and there's a beer can shoved inside it, and you're like, oh my god, what are you doing? But
that's vintage. I should get some.
And then you just meet the craziest of the craziest, NASCAR fans. And then if you tell them that you're doing interviews, they'll pretty much sell each other out.
Easy.
I love the way that with most sports, and you have two people who the Jets and the Patriots, they'll actually fist fight over it. But with a NASCAR fan, they like to just joke about it, and they'll have a great time, and they'll hang out, and they'll eat the chicken, and they'll drink each other's beer, and they'll just joke about it. There's no very rarely are you going to, unless Talladega, which is Mecca of.
I've seen some fist fights at some races, and was? It was in the parking lot. And it was over. I think it was this is recent. It was it was a 2003 a Chevy, was it Monte Carlo, what was it? It was a Jeff Gordon edition. All right, Chevy Monte Carlo, Jeff Gordon edition. It looked like a pinstripe Lumina. This thing was in the parking lot. Okay, and these guys are swinging over. I think they were. They were trying to get $1,500 for it, and the guy was trying to knock him down to a grand. It was crazy.
The owner wanted $6,000 for it.
Now, hold on. $6,000. I don't know what. I think KBB was at 19. I think on it. It was outlandish. But let me just tell you something. These guys were brawling. They were rolling on the hood. But let me tell you, the pinstripes didn't rub off because it was real paint.
And that's what's most important when it comes down to a nice, beautiful. Because when it's just a regular, tape, anybody can do tape.
No, exactly. Anybody can tape something on a car.
But when you can brush it,
brush
you know,
it.
Brush that 24 on the roof, on the sunroof even.
Absolutely. You know, real deal designs can you know, brush on some pinstripes or even, you know, some numbers or letters or, hey, you know what? I could even sign the dash and say Jeff Gordon signed it, right?
You know, and that's what it comes down to. It comes down to the fact that if you can't prove that there's who the signature's from, anybody who's an artist can,
you didn't pass go and you're not getting $6,000.
Yeah, but I'm pretty sure if somebody's drunk enough and this is Jeff Gordon's last year of racing. So
Wow. That's
got to bring the value to $24,000.
You know, I mean, 24,000, you know what? It could be, it's realistic. You're going to see these things up online unbelievably priced. Hey, you know, I think 24 grand a bargain. 75 more years, it might be worth $26,000. We'll see.
Yeah, well, you've got to park it for the, you know, 24 years, so the miles will catch up. But you've got to love the NASCAR fan because they're so dedicated to their driver. And it's moments like this that you're going back to the tattoos. Is everybody who's got a 24 on them now, what do they do? It's all those people who have the Dale Earnhardt Jr. 8 on them. Luckily, he went to 88, where you were able to add a second 8 to it. But,
there you go.
You know, once Jeff Gordon's gone, you know, who knows what Chase Elliott's going to be driving. Is he going to go to the 9? Is he going to go to the 25? Are they going to put him in the 24? But even if they do, and you're not a Chase Elliott fan, do you want a 24, you know, people being like, oh, Chase Elliott? And you'll be like, no, that's Jeff Gordon. And they'll be like, who?
Who? What? Wait, look at my pinstripe Lumina out front.
Chase Elliott, Lumina. Chase Elliott wasn't even born when that car was made.
Hey, you know.
but today we were talking about the fact that my kids don't even know who Kenny Rogers is. How awful is that?
Hey, you know, it's a learning process, you know?
You know, there are kids out there who don't know who Richard Petty is.
Richard Petty, he's a legend.
He is a legend, but there are people out there. You know, like the King kind of sticks around, and like Dale Waltrip is known as the TV guy, not as the race car driver. And it's
right.
Just like, you know, like now I'm that old NASCAR fan who's just like, well, what about the good old days?
You've seen the commercials with the older guys and that have done great things. And, you know, your kids ask the question, what's that song or who's that guy or what's this? And it's just time. It's just changing a little bit.
Yeah, you know, I never thought that my kids wouldn't know who Kenny Rogers was. They were like, oh, yeah, that old guy who sings that song. And I'm like, hey, he's more than just an old guy. He's Kenny Rogers, and that's his song. Like, anytime anyone's ever sat down at a table with a set of cards has sung that song. So to
exactly.
have Kenny Rogers do it,
jeez.
Okay, we get it.
Unbelievable.
And my kids are missing out. And case scenario, my kids don't even like racing.
No.
Yeah, not racing fans.
You're there to teach and help and foster.
I'm not one of those people who want to force you into liking what I like.
No.
That hopefully I can make it entertaining enough that, you know, a lot of people have said to me, hey, I didn't like, you know, racing, I turned on your show and you made it entertaining and I liked it. you know, and now I'm a fan. I had a roommate in 96, hated racing, but was such a jerk that he had to learn everything he could about racing just so he could make fun of me.
Oh,
and
geez.
He now goes to more races a year than I do because it is so addicting. You can't just wake up in the morning and not like things that go fast and make a lot of noise.
I'm making motor noises when I'm shaving my face in the morning, every morning.
It's funny because now I've changed careers. I now sell automobiles. And,
you do?
I do. And
strong.
You know, hey, it's the love of the automobile. But you can tell the difference between men and women. Women will come in and be like, I just want it to be in my budget. Where a man will be like, oh, add this and put that on it. And it's got to have that. And it's got to, you know, and lift it, and lower it, and, you know, pinstripe it. And, you know, it's completely out of your budget. And you're like, it doesn't matter. Just do it. Where women are like, I don't care if it's orange. Just get it in my budget.
Hey, you know, we all have a budget. We all have a budget.
We all have a budget. We need to, it's a two-step process.
It really is.
You know, but there is a difference, you know, and I'm not trying to, like, stereotype men and women, but you can tell the difference on, you know, when a single woman walks in by herself, she just, you know, is concerned, is it going to get me to work? Doesn't care about the brand, doesn't care about, you know, the type of car it is, you know, as long as you can get the kids in it, get some groceries, get to work, whatever they need, get the dogs in it. You know, you can sell them a yellow Fiesta and they'll be happy with it.
No kidding. It's crazy. And then you got some of the ladies that come in with the guys, and all the guys are thinking a race car. And she's like, I just want to get to work. Race car. Throw yellow on it. Make it yellow.
It's funny because at the front door, there's the Corvette.
The Vette.
You know, every woman just walks by it. Some will, you know, notice it, but they'll keep walking. But, a man has got to stop and just look at it and say to himself, wow. You know, and with the new Corvette, I've liked Corvettes my whole life. I thought that they were, you know, the best, you know, that America had to offer as far as automobiles go. But I'm a Porsche guy, hands down. But this new Corvette is just phenomenal looking. That it will make you stop and stare at it.
It's crazy.
You know, and I know that you'll do this too, is that when you see the truck of plastic wrappered Corvettes come in, it seriously is like Christmas morning where you know the presents are there and you just want to see them unwrapped. You're like,
the first word that comes to mind is stiff.
But to me, it reminds me of Christmas morning. And you would think that it would get old to me. I see a Corvette every single day. It's not a big deal to me anymore. But when you know, you just see, you know, because it's taller than everything else. So you just see these floating plastic-wrapped Corvettes coming down the hill. And you're like, oh, my God. And you run to the window, and you might be in the middle of doing something. But you know, all of a sudden, you're out the window. And you're like, wait a second. What am I doing this? There just was one last week. And now there's the truck's back again. But
now it's back.
You know, a few weeks ago, I was talking to somebody, and I was telling them how much I love cars. It was, you know, a younger kid. I think he's like 12 or something. And he's like, oh, man, do you love cars? He's like, do you ever go to a dealership? So I'm like, every single day I go to a car dealership, and I just walk around aimlessly looking at cars. And he's like, really? I'm like, yeah, it's my job.
It's a dream, but...
You know, and you never get sick of it. Like today I went and I sat in the city van, which, you know, it's just this little tiny dinky car van. And I know that this is probably going to sound like a horrible commercial, but even something like that, like I just drove around the parking lot just so I could get like used to it. And it's so cool that, you know, I had the opportunity to do that. That's, you know... just going back to how much I love cars. I'm not trying to make this a Chevy commercial.
Exactly.
But I do love cars, and I do love being around them. The thrill hasn't worn off yet. I'm assuming that when I'm there 28 years, I'll hate cars. I don't know. I'll be sick of them. But every year they come out with a new one. So, to me, I think I'm always going to love it. I hope that I never get bored of them. But,
Same. It's all about the new models.
How long have you been in the industry?
I mean, there's multiple. What one?
The automobile industry.
The automobile industry. I've been in the auto industry directly since sales for just over 4 years.
Oh, okay.
Just over 4 years. I've been doing it for a little while.
And not gotten sick of it yet?
No, not at all. Not at all. Yeah, every day is something new. You're always going to run into somebody new or a new challenge or those new models that keep you coming back for more. But I think it's just the excitement, the buzz, I really think it's making other people happy and kind of solving a problem that they have.
Well, that's what it comes down to. It is the people. It's the fact that, you know, yeah, today you might have a bad day, but the next day it's like, oh, well, someone new is coming in, and you get to learn everything about them. Like, you know, these are complete strangers who come through the front door, but you've got to find out what their needs and wants are. Which I find fascinating because you get to find out where they work and what they do and how far they drive and you know, how their life revolves around the automobile.
It does.
So it's kind of like doing a mini radio show with a new guest where it's just like, so what does the automobile mean to you? And then they give you the whole story and you're like, cool. And then you, try to match up their wants and their needs. And I love talking and I love cars, and when it's all said and done, they're like, oh, okay, that was pretty easy. And because there is that horrible stereotype of the auto sales guy, which I didn't want to be. I saw no need in it. I spent 43 years of being a consumer. Now now that I get to be on this side, I don't know how many, brand new cars that you've bought, but I've had terrible experiences.
It happened. It's going to happen. It's out there.
You know, the first new car I bought was one of those buy here, pay here places. And I thought, because I went through a stage where I was just buying like $300 cars.
Yep.
Drove them until they blew up and then spend $200 more and buy a new one. But now all of a sudden, like I was a grown up and I wanted to buy a newer car. And I went to a buy here, pay here place. And the guy was rude and he was mean and he was demeaning. And he, made me feel like I wasn't worth anything. And that if it wasn't for him, life would just be over. Then they put me in a car I didn't even want. They put me in a Chevy Beretta, which was a nice car.
Beretta.
But I was I went in looking for a truck. But he explained to me that, you know, I drove in a Hyundai. I'm lucky to be driving, you know, a Beretta. Then they sent me home with it and then called me and told me, because they asked you how much was in the bank. And then it's surprising that the next day they called and they needed exactly that much money. Wow. And I didn't want to, like, give the car back, so I had to go and give them everything I had.
Wow.
Then I once went to Ford and spent 8 hours in a dealership.
You can
spend 8 hours in the dealership if you're the sales guy.
Yeah, you should definitely not. I mean, it's one of those things where you might have a kind of a good idea of what, you know, you like and what you need and this, that, and the next thing. But the whole thing is going in, finding out what's going to fit your budget, what's going to fit your needs. And
that's where it was. I went in, I knew how much money I had. I knew what I wanted. I knew I wanted a Ford truck. And I knew which one I wanted. I knew which color I wanted. I knew what I wanted. It was just 8 hours of, oh, let me go check with my boss. Why? Where are you going? What are you doing? Bring your boss to me.
Yes.
you know, cut the middleman out. It should never, ever, ever take 8 hours. And I was like, I'm hungry. I got to go home. And the funny thing was is that I wasn't even supposed to go and buy a car that day. That, you know, my parents had planned a surprise for me. So my dad was like, hey, let's go hang out. So I was like, okay, cool. So we're just driving around. We figured we'd go to a dealership. We'd look to see if I liked the truck. So I went and I test drove it, and I came back, and my dad was test driving his own car. Now,
no
we
way.
Weren't even supposed to buy a car to begin with. We were supposed to be gone like an hour and come back. So now the two of us are buying two cars.
Wow.
So, you know, it's just funny that our intention was not to even buy a car. We should have just went to lunch and went back home so the surprise would be there for me. But ended up buying two vehicles that day. And still, even buying two vehicles should not take 8 hours.
No way.
Should
not.
Yeah,
that's
but,
a little trigger.
Yeah, so, now that I'm on this side of the table, I sit back and I say to myself, I'm just going to, you know, if you know what you want, let's just get to it. Let's make you happy, you know, make sure you like it, and then send you on your way.
Pretty simple. Pretty simple.
It should be that simple.
It shouldn't be
the whole process of, you know, trying, like the first guy, tearing me down to make me feel like I was lucky to be driving a Beretta. But the sad thing was is that I had it for like 4 years and I never felt that lucky.
Were you sitting on a horseshoe?
You know, no, it brought me no luck. No. It was a green car, and you know, my grandmother was like anti-green cars, so it pretty much was not the car I wanted. But until I paid it off, and it was like a $9,000 car, and I ended up paying like $17,000 for it because the interest rate they got me at.
I hear pay here. It's one of those situations.
You know, and that's, you know, people really should educate themselves that even if you think you have terrible credit, that might not be the option for you. That there are, you know, I'm not going to name any places, but those places are hoping that you did not educate yourself.
Correct.
So, you know, go to a legitimate dealer, see if they can help you, and then if they can't, and worst case scenario, you have to go to a buy here pay here place, but I didn't. I just assumed that I was young and I didn't have any credit, and that was the only way to go. And then, like, 2 days later, you know, I'm talking to these young kids who have cars, and they're like, oh, yeah, I went to a legitimate dealership, and they were able to help me. And I was like, oh. So I drove a Beretta for 4 years.
Yeah, end all be all. The answer's at the dealer. I mean, if they can't make it happen, or, you know, they'll definitely point you in the right direction, or, you know, answer any questions that you have. And, you know, dealers nowadays will be more than happy to help you out.
Well, their job is to sell you a car. You know, if they can help you, they're going to help you. It's funny to me that people, you know, are, like, afraid of the dealership when, you know, that's probably the safest place to be if you're having issues. And, again, I'm not trying to make this a dealership type of show, like, oh, come to our dealership because we're going to do the best. I'm just trying to help people get the fact that going to a buy here, pay here place, kind of not going to help you.
Exactly.
That,
exactly. But
you
if
know,
you
you're
going to
end up.
But
if
you're
going to
buy a race car, you can find them out there.
A race car?
A race car.
Yeah.
You can find them out there.
Now, what is your, like, dream car?
Dream car? Good question. Dream car. It's got to be classic. It's got to be clean. I'd say it's a 1959 Corvette, red, black interior, convertible. I think that would be the dream car. Pretty sharp. I think I know somebody who
not
has
like two,
one.
Not like two-toned or straight color?
Two-tone, red with white coves on it. Probably a four-speed. Yeah, I think George Clooney has one, if I'm not mistaken. You can find pictures of him driving in a Vette online. But that's it's pretty much the same car.
That's pretty stalkery for you to know that.
You see the pictures everywhere. No, my pops had one back in the day, and I remember sitting in it when I was a kid, and it was a super sharp car, clean, and it breaks necks everywhere you go. It's just an awesome ride.
It's funny because I can't really, like, think of, like, any car that my dad had that was, like, spectacular. Like, I remember him having the Ford Pinto and, you know, me sitting in the back space, you know, going on long road trips, which now you find out is wrong on so many levels.
That's like abuse in some places.
That, you know, not only was I not in a seat, I did not have a seatbelt on, but I was sitting in the one spot that would definitely explode.
You're right above the gas tank, right?
You know, just staring out a piece of glass. Like, the only thing stopping me from the car behind me was glass. And a fuel tank underneath me.
Yeah.
You gotta love the 70s, though.
Yeah, exactly.
But then he traded that for a Volkswagen Camper, which was pretty awesome. You know, not that we ever did any camping. Like I remember sleeping in it once, and it was in the driveway. That
wow.
Just opened it up, and my parents had to sleep outside. You know, maybe they had a big party inside and didn't want us in there. I don't know. But they had us sleep in the driveway.
It's a classic.
But, that was a pretty cool van. It had the portable toilet in it, too. So,
Never.
I think every car should have a portable toilet.
Every single one?
Yeah,
whether it's a van or a truck, or it should have
Even your Corvette, just, you know, portable potty in there.
The thing's a toilet anyway.
You know, this way you never have to worry about long trips.
Exactly.
It's crazy the way that works.
It's nuts.
Yeah, see, your dad had, like, cooler cars than mine.
He had a couple cooler cars, I guess, but it was just, you know, the past. It was just like his thing, I guess.
Yeah, and then my dad's since then been on like a Sonata kick. He's you know, had like six Sonatas.
Wow.
So, he digs the car. He likes it a lot. It's been the poor man's Mercedes.
The sharp ride.
If you look at them real quick, you think, is that a Mercedes? And then you're like, oh, no. But,
oh, no, wait.
Yeah.
Wait.
No, when I was in Vegas, there was a Hyundai dealership next to a Mercedes. And you would just drive by and you'd be like, I don't know where one ends and the other one starts.
Wow.
And I'm not saying like long, you know, like if you glance at it a long time. It's just, you know, you look at it and you think, You know, now I think that the Sonata looks like the Jaguars, you know, when they were, you know, made by Ford.
My buddy Dave, he uses this term and he uses it frequently, and it's choice. It's choice. I guess you can pick what you want. There's so many options out there. So many options of vehicles.
Yeah, when I was in California, they were all in one location. It was like the weirdest thing in the world. In Ontario, California, they have like 50 dealerships all on one plot of land. So you would just walk, you know, you'd start at 8 o'clock in the morning and you'd walk from dealership to dealership. You don't have to do any research. Just show up and park your car and, okay, I'm going to go next door and see what they have to offer.
Kick tires and pleasure cruise.
You know, you test drive next door.
My car's the one out front with the window sticker on it. Hey, can you beat that number?
You know, it must be impossible to sell a car when, you know, the next dealership is in walking distance. And not just one, but 50 of them.
Oh, that's crazy.
One night I got off the highway and I just drove down the street and I was like, this is insanity. How many cars are just sitting here? But
inventory.
You wonder if it's all one ownership or if it's just, you know, other people are like, hey, let's all build on one plot of land. But, you know, it's probably easier for the consumer. But, you know, just you know, didn't make any sense to me. But
did you stop in at all?
No, I drove in at night, you know, at night I got, when I, you know, was going back and I saw every night I would drive by and it'd just be like, that goes on forever. And then I'm like, I'm going to get off the highway and just look. It was probably like 11 o'clock at night. I don't think any of them were open.
Wow.
But I just wanted to be in the middle of it. I should have stopped and like took a picture of it.
Should have. Yeah.
But, you know, just endless cars.
Ugh.
But you got to love it, my friend. You got to love the automobile, and you got to love everything that they've done with it.
Yeah.
And,
I think this year will be big. This will be a big year, 2015 in the auto industry.
It seems to be headed in that direction with the price of gas going down.
Definitely.
The car industry on a whole is stepping up, and taking more responsibility of their product that they're sending out to the consumer, which I think is huge. And, you know, it may sound that I'm Chevy biased, but I love the entire industry on a whole. Love, you know, wheels in a winner, man. You put anything on wheels and you race it, and I'm for it. And you, you know, just design anything. Like, if, you know, these people who make their own creations where you got, like, the shoe that's actually a car. Odd-shaped thing. You know, the phone that's actually a car. Like, you can put wheels on anything, and I'll stop and I'll stare at it. That,
absolutely.
Love going to these car shows. My father-in-law owns a 61 Impala, and love going to car shows with him. And you would think that I'd get tired of it, like standing in a parking lot with cars. But, you know, every one is so different than the next. And I like when people put their own flair to it.
The cars, it's the people, it's the culture.
And you can never get tired of it. You've got to love it.
It evolves.
So Lloyd, how can people get a hold of you if they want to learn more about Lloyd?
They want to learn more about Lloyd. I mean, there's all kinds of ways. You can check out some of my pinstripe, and I got a website. It's Real Deal Designs. Replace the E's with 3's, and you'll find me. Pretty straightforward. You can give me a buzz, phone, email, website, message, Facebook, definitely on Facebook. We're just over 600 likes and kind of climbing. We're looking for that 1,000 mark.
Wow.
Just been busy. Just been busy trying to keep it going.
Nice. But, sir. I appreciate your time. It was well spent, an evening of Lloyd.
Thanks, Tom. I appreciate the invite on the show.
Absolutely. I love talking cars, learning more about people and their interest in the automobile. And, you know, the racing season's starting, so it's time to get back and start doing the shows and educate people on the automobiles. Real quick, do you got a car tip for winterizing a vehicle?
Winterizing your vehicle. Some people kind of think it's, you know, it's like doesn't do anything, but stabilize your gas. They sell the containers at any little shop that sells parts and whatnot. It's like an antifreeze for fuel. The last thing you want to get up in the morning and try to start your car and it not start because the fuel lines have water in them and it's frozen. So definitely get some, it's called fuel stabilizer. Put it in your gas tank. Let the car run for like 10 minutes and make sure it kind of swishes around in there and you'll be all set for the next day to go cruising.
That's the thing I forgot to do, and it's probably going to just be like, it's going to snow here for like 72 straight hours.
Next
I should probably
10,
invest in that. That seems like a good investment.
I think the bottles are like $3.
Yeah, they're not that expensive, and something that I should have done. It's a shame that I didn't have you on in June, so I would have remembered to do this.
You better
now
go.
My truck
right?
Parked outside and, you know, the snow.
You better go out right now and go get them. Right now.
Man, right now. That's where I'm going to go. I'm going to end the show. So, Lloyd, thank you for coming on. If you need anything, go to Wheels and a Winner on Facebook and get a hold of us. And we will be back to do the show again because we've got to talk about racing. We've got to talk about what's going on. We've got to, you know, you know, get Lisa back on so she can be involved and she can talk about racing, and then we can have other racing people on, and we can have a great season, and we can talk about everything, and we can talk about my 2015 Driver of the Year, and we can talk about the Tommy Noodles curse, and we can talk about absolutely everything that is going on in the NASCAR world, in the racing world, anything that comes up, please make sure that Wheels in a Winner is your place to be. Anything about cars, if you got any questions about cars, go to Facebook, Tommy Noodles, and question pretty much anything about racing, about cars. If I don't know the answer, which those are the questions I like the most, I will get you the answer. I have surrounded myself with people who actually know what they're talking about, which makes me look smarter. So do yourself a favor. Ask a question that I don't know the answer to. Facebook, Tommy Noodles. You can Twitter Tommy Noodles. You can Twitter Wheels in a Winner. You can Facebook Wheels in a Winner. You can, you know, just everything. You know where to get a hold of us. Race Fan Idiots is always there. There's a million ways to get the information that you're looking for, and I'll always talk about it. So hook me up. Thanks for downloading this show. Thanks for listening to it live. You can always call in if you have any questions. Tell your friends to download it, because that's very helpful. The more people who actually listen to the show, the better my ego gets, and you know, the more shows that I do. So please feed my ego, and make everyone who works at the Chaos Network feel like there's a purpose for what they do, because you've got to appreciate the Chaos Network for being here, for putting the, you know, for giving us the opportunity to actually be on the air. So that's enough of me ranting. You probably are sick of it. You're probably like, okay, stop talking now. You've talked enough. So yeah, on the next show we will definitely talk about racing and what's going on. Yeah, I guess that's it. I'll stop talking.
Working at the convenience store, managed to save just a little bit of money. We don't have to drive too far, just cross the border and into the city. You and I can both catch up.